Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Sharon Bradley, and Patty Zakas. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sharon Bradley, and I'd like to thank you for coming to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we will be talking to Ted Silva, who's the founder of Give Away a Dollar a Day. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. A warm welcome to Maureen Holleran. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Without electricity all over California, and besides that, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
That's good. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your expertise?
Sure. I work with my other co-host at PsychicAccess.com, and I'm psychic, intuitive. I have some clairs going on, and I help people going the proper direction. And I love my work.
Aww. That's nice.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen. And we also have Patty Zakas with us. Hi, Patty. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you. And hello, everybody. I'm an intuitive counselor and channeler with Psychic Access, and I work with my co-hosts, Psychic Empath as well. I do paranormal investigations and have my own company here in Chilliwack where we do investigations and do a lot of readings. So been in this realm for a while and love being in it. Love being here with you guys tonight, too. It's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm glad you're here, Patty. It's great. So, and I'm so pleased to welcome back Steve Frampton to our show. Hi, Steve. Welcome
Thank
back.
Thank you, Sharon. Hi. I'm really excited to be back. It's wonderful to be here.
It's good to hear you here. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about your work?
Absolutely. My name's Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, originally from the UK, but now living in the States. So I specialize in communicating with my guides to channel insight from people that have passed to the spirit world, and also to seek guidance that answers questions or provides insight so that people can get on the right path in life. And as Maureen said it so well, I love my work.
We're glad you're here, Steve. It's great.
Thank you.
And my name is Sharon Bradley, and I work also on Psychic Access. And I don't use any tools, but I hear and see from spirit. So that's the way I do my readings, and I'm happy to be here. So tonight, I'm delighted and honored to interview our extra special guest, Ted Silva. Ted is a husband, father, and businessman. He's an engineer by day and works for a large computer company. Outside of his family, his passion is music. And I'm so honored that Todd has agreed to come on our show today and share with us about Give Away a Dollar a Day. So if you're looking for some information on Todd, you can visit his website at www.giveawayadollaraday.com. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show with Angela Thomas last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible to be sure to include others in our show. So, Todd, are you there?
I sure am. Is this Sharon?
Yeah, how you doing? Welcome.
Pretty good. Good to hear your voice, my butterfly lady friend.
Yeah, we'll tell them about that a little later.
Okay, we'll keep that a secret for a while.
I'm very excited you're here. So I found out about you, Todd, because a long time ago I found out what you were doing and I did a blog, and then I told you about the blog and that's how we connected. So thank you so much for coming and joining us. Now, and I wanted to tell you before the show, I ran outside and I threw, we have here in Canada, we don't have dollar bills. We only have what we call a loonie. And right. So it's like a coin. So I ran and I put one on the sidewalk just in honor of the show. So, but, so did you want to give a little bit of a story on how it all started for our listeners?
Sure. I don't know how much they know about it, but I'll just give you a real brief introduction. Give away a dollar a day actually is a very personal thing that started for me about a little over 4 years ago, and I was at a point in my life where I'm a businessman and an engineer, and I was at a point in my life and in my career where I had hit a few speed bumps and having some rocky times, rocky financial times, and I was meditating and praying. I usually do that every morning in the quiet of the morning. That's a great time to make a connection to spirit for me. I just love that time. And so I was in some prayers and some meditations. I was really asking. I was asking the question of. You know, I said, God, what? There seems to be some similar things that keep happening for me financially. And it's not what I want. I'm not getting the results that I want. So what's going on here? What do I need to do differently? And I got this answer didn't come to me instantly. It really came. I asked the question and kind of pondered the thought and kind of played with this idea during meditation and prayer time over a several week period. And eventually it kind of unfolded into this that Todd, turn your focus around. Quit thinking so much about what you can get and how much you can get, and start to shift your focus on what you can give. Turn it around and look the other way. Look away from you rather than always looking into yourself. And it really was quite a revelation for me, because I realized then that it applied to more than just money for me. It applied to a lot of areas in my life where I would be thinking about me first. And I've talked to a lot of folks since I started Give Away a Dollar a Day and since I've kind of spread the word about it. And I found out that I was not alone in that. I think that there are definitely some other folks who have had the experience of going through life and thinking about me first. You know, when I was out there in the real world and with people, I didn't necessarily make it look like it was always about me, but a lot of the times it was about me. I just hid it real well. And so this was kind of a wake-up call for me when I got this message from Spirit during these meditations and these prayers to literally turn around and begin to look the other way, to look outside of me, to shift the attention away from me and start to put it on others and back into life itself. And instead of thinking about what can I get, what can I give and how can I give? So I loved that, and I said, okay, let's do more with this. Tell me more. What do you mean? How can I do this? What simple act can I start to do every day? And I think something that really worked, resonated well for me, because I was I was thinking about my money situation at the time, and so combining that with this new idea of starting to shift, starting to focus on giveaway, I got the idea to give away money, and I literally am hearing this from Spirit, and this very small still voice within. That is telling me this. And I was so quiet in these meditations. I was really tuned in. I was really listening. That I know this wasn't my left brain. This wasn't Todd Silva's ego trying to tell him something. This was Spirit. This was Spirit telling me, give away money. So then I said, all right, okay, this sounds. I literally scratched my head a little bit and kind of winced my face, and I said, this okay, this is cool, but something sounds a little weird here. What do you mean give away money? And then I think it was the next day I got the idea, the next morning that I meditated again, I got the idea to give away a dollar every day. And so at that point I said, okay, Spirit, stop. Hold on. What do you mean? What are you talking about giving away a dollar every day? First of all, I'm concerned about my money situation right now. It's not like I, you know, want to be good going and going around and giving away a whole bunch of money. But I have to admit, Sharon, I kind of engaged my left brain at this point, and I ran a little, quick little calculation. That's probably the engineer in me. I ran a quick little calculation in my brain, and I said, okay, a dollar a day, that's $30 a month, that's $365 a year. I think I can swing that. So it was almost like I was trying to negotiate with God, but God doesn't negotiate. God just says, here's an idea. You could either go for it or not.
And so how do you, what do you do? Like, just like, I know what you do, but just tell people how you do the dollar. Like, I know there's a few rules to it.
So when I first got this idea, I said, okay, give away a dollar a day. Okay, this is great. So about 2 days later is when I started it, and I'm a sales engineer. So I was on a sales call, and I was sitting in the lobby of my customer, getting ready to go meet them and go have the meeting. And I had never done this before, and I had my dollar in my pocket, and I said, "Okay, God, I'm going to give away a dollar a day, like you said I should, but I have no idea what that means." So I can still see this in my mind. I still have this picture in my mind's eye. So I'm sitting here in the chair, in this nice cushy chair of this beautiful lobby that I'm in, and there's a couple other people in the lobby waiting to go meet with other folks, and I don't know them, they don't know me, we're not really having conversation, we're all just kind of waiting for our appointments. And I'm fiddling with the dollar in my pocket, thinking, you know, I want to put it in here in the lobby somewhere, but how can I do this without them looking, because they're going to think I'm weird. Or if I drop it somewhere, they're probably going to go pick it up and bring it right back to me and say, here, sir, you dropped this, which was not the idea. So, because I wanted to give it away. I wanted somebody else to have this. I wanted to be able to give prosperity to somebody else. So what I ended up doing, I just real stealthily reached into my pocket and kind of put it right in the seat so that when my customer came into the lobby to pick me up, I got up, pushed the dollar bill aside, and pushed the chair aside so that he couldn't see it and he wouldn't give it back to me. And then we went to the meeting, and I went on my way. And when I came back down after the meeting was over and left the building, I did take a quick look, glance in that chair, and sure enough, it was not there. So somebody did find it. That's one brief example. Most of the time what I do is, I've been doing this now for 4 years, and I've been doing it every day since. And most of the time what I do is I give away a dollar anonymously, which means I'll put it somewhere in a public place that I know somebody will find it. And I like to do it in such a way, I have a lot of fun with this. It's almost like I'm playing a game with the universe, but it's a fun game. It's not a weird game. It's a game of joy and a game of prosperity and a game of giveaway. And most of the time when I give away a dollar, I'm not just dropping it on the ground to make it look like it fell out of my pocket by accident. I'll actually, one of the better ones I did was when I went into a Barnes & Noble bookstore. And there was a new Wayne Dyer book out. I don't remember the name of it. This was a couple of years ago, and it was about prosperity. And I just decided I was going to stick a dollar in there. And mm-hmm. I put it in the book enough so there was about a half an inch of the dollar bill poking out, so that whoever was going through the aisle looking specifically for Wayne Dyer books, they were going to see that. And for me, that's such a good message, I think, to put out there. Because the person who goes and buys that book, they see this, and they're wanting to buy a book on prosperity to obviously increase it in their lives. And look, here's this book, and it's got a dollar in it already in it for them. So they get either a dollar discount on that book, or they just get the little prosperity, the nudge from the universe that prosperity's coming your way, and here it is. Here's your first drop.
Yeah, so, that's so true.
So that's
and
example.
You know,
I have just millions of stories I could go on, but I want you to ask questions.
Well, you know, I think what you're not only giving the money, but you're getting the happiness, like getting back. I know you're not doing it to get back, but the happiness they're feeling when they receive it, I think that comes back to you tenfold too. Do you think so?
Oh, of course it does. And I think what's really really awesome about this whole thing is that I remember when I was a little kid and I would find, you know, I'd find a quarter and I would just be so jazzed when I found that. And then another time I might find a dollar. And I remember one time I was walking around with some friends and on the side of the street, I found a $20 bill. And I was probably, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. And a $20 bill for a 12-year-old who didn't have any idea of what it was like to have actually a job and make money yet, that was a pretty big deal. And I remember just the sheer joy of finding that I know that whenever somebody finds a dollar, they're going to get that joy. They're going to get that charge. And I really think it's that it's no matter... I think it's regardless of a person's situation in life. I think if a person is very well off and very financially set, and if they find a dollar in a place where they kind of know that it wasn't dropped there by accident, but somebody put it there, I think they get a little bit of a charge out of it. So I think everybody gets a joy out of it. And so because of that, I know that I'm creating that joy, so I get the joyousness out of doing it in the first place. And that's what's so cool about it. So you're right, it's created on both ends.
Yeah, I remember because, like I said, we have coins up here instead of bills. When I went to Vegas, it was like, yay, I have dollar bills. We were like putting them all these little funky places. It was so much fun. Do your children participate? Do they do it too? How do you, I guess that would get expensive if everybody did it, but like, do they understand the whole concept?
Yeah, they definitely do, and they don't do it every day, but they do it every once in a while, and they have a lot of fun doing it. And but my wife definitely does it. She does it just about every day too, and so she really enjoys it. I mean, she got it right away. She's a very intuitive person, and she's very very tapped in, and she understood the idea of it right away. I mean, I did not even have to begin to explain it to her. She just got it right away.
Yeah. You know, as I'm talking to you, I'm smiling. I've got like the silliest smile on my face. So there's something about you. You just have really, really good energy because I'm sitting here with this strange smile on my face. So
well,
I don't know what it is about you. It's really good. Now I know you're a wonderful musician and your music is part of you and you sell your music on Amazon.com. But did you ever write a song about give away a dollar a day?
Actually, I wrote a song, it wasn't called Give Away a Dollar Day, but it was inspired by Give Away a Dollar Day, and it's called Spread a Little Joy.
Oh, okay.
And so that song was definitely inspired by the whole Give Away Dollar Day movement and everything that it's all about and everything that I've learned and learned from it. And I don't know if I may have that up on Amazon.com. My more active music site right now is ReverbNation.com, and the web address for that is, it's like the www.whatever, and then ReverbNation.com/Todd Silva, all one word.
Oh, okay. We might have that up on your guest thing so that people can find that.
Okay.
Now,
but yeah, Spread a Little Joy is up there, and that's just it's just a fun little song. In fact, I also produce that one myself, and as well as writing it and performing the instruments.
Oh, that's good. Now, do you think that there will be a book? Like, because like you're doing all this work, you've got the website, you're doing everything, but you're really, you know, and I know that's part of the giving back and everything like that. So, but I wonder if there's a book in store with everybody's stories, because I love your newsletter. So I just want, do you think that's in your future?
Well, let me say it this way. I am a musician through and through. If I bleed, little musical notes are going to come out. I'm not an author. I do write a news the email every 2 weeks that subscribers to Give Away a Dollar Day do get, And I share stories, and you've given some stories, so thank you for those as well. They've been wonderful. And so I share stories, and I share every once in a while I'll share some things that I've learned and some insights, and sometimes even answer questions. Sharon, I started working on a book about a year and a half ago, and I got so far into it after a couple months, and then I realized, I said, you know what, I'm definitely a musician, but I'm not an author. So what I want to say in response to that question is I want to put it out there, the invitation to the universe, to anybody who is so inspired about the story of Give Away a Dollar a Day, that yes, a book does need to be written.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you've got your wife there, so she can, like, she feels creative. She can write it for you. Keep it in the family. So, now, I wanted to ask you, when you were young, and I know you said you found $20 and stuff like that, did you ever feel that you would be part of something so grand? Like, I mean, this is known throughout the world. So, did you ever think this? Like, was it ever in there in your head?
No, not at all. And to be honest, that question kind of took me back a little bit when you asked that, because I thought, be part of something that is so grand and across the world. And you are right. There are folks all around the world who are giving away a dollar or whatever it is, currency that they've got. And I hear from people all around the world. But what I have been really determined to do all the way through this whole thing is to remain very humble, and I am just a participant. I don't feel like I am leading any kind of movement. I send out an email because I'm just kind of a collector of stories because nobody else is doing it. And so I'm a collector of stories, and I'm sharing those with everybody. But I give away every day just like everybody else does. So I'm very much a participant in this, and I don't feel like I'm any more than that.
Mm-hmm. That but it sense? Wouldn't be there if it wasn't for you. So
well, you're right. And then of course, and you know what it is, Sharon? Whenever I hear you say something like that, then my ego wants to kind of jump up and go, oh, did you hear what she said? And I have to tell my ego, go sit back down.
So, well, I'm gonna share now the butterfly story. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. So, well, what happened was I did a blog, and I think in the blog, if I remember right, was I was talking about how when my mother was passing away, she told me and our family that, excuse me, she would come back whenever we see a big monarch, she'll be there. And mm-hmm. It was my nephew's wedding last week. Sure enough, a big monarch comes right through when the ceremony's happening. So what happened was, I think that we started discussing that, and you said you had a similar story, if I remember right, and there were some monarchs in your backyard. And they were actually coming out of their cocoon, and you taped it. You have it on YouTube somewhere, right?
I made a little video called First Flight, because we had my wife had planted and what is the name of this? It's like a milkweed, I think. But it's a butterfly bush, and I think technically it's a milkweed. I may be wrong on that. I'm not sure. But it's a butterfly plant, and so we had this planted in our backyard several years ago, and this plant is designed to attract the butterfly caterpillars, the monarch caterpillars. So the butterflies lay their eggs on it, and then the caterpillars hatch and become big caterpillars, and then they crawl down the plant and then up the side of our house and go make their little chrysalises. And so I had an opportunity. I was so curious about this, and I just love watching life go through all of its metamorphoses in all of its forms. And so I took my video camera out there, and over many, many days I would take pictures and I would take films of these chrysalises, the butterfly or the caterpillars, and then the butterfly coming out. And I got lucky to get one as it finally took off on its very first flight. And I have to share this with you because I think this is such an amazing, amazing story and metaphor for life in everything in life. this one butterfly that I took the picture of, I mean, you know, when they come out of their chrysalis, they slowly but surely are moving their wings from fully closed to fully open, and they'll do this for hours just because they're getting used to flexing those muscles. And then I say muscles. I don't know if butterflies have muscles, but you know their wings. So then it tried to take one step, and then it would fall, and then it would walk around a little bit and try to take another step, and it would fall. And finally it walked up the side, another side of the back of our house. And I was filming this, and it literally, it seemed like it stopped for about 5 minutes, and it seemed like it was recollecting its thoughts. And then it just fell. And I thought, okay, here we go again. But what it did when it fell that last time, Sharon, it somehow, I mean, it fell upside down, and it tumbled all which ways. And then it started flapping its wings, and all of a sudden it was taken off, and it was flying. And I just thought this was so magical. And the metaphor was that it didn't go fly when it was ready and when things were perfect. It had to just fall and say, you know what, I'm going to flap my wings again, and if this time is right, it'll work. So the metaphor and the learning for me was that don't try to get everything so perfect in life. Sometimes you just got to just go do it.
Mm-hmm. And like it's okay to jump off the cliff kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's what it did. Yeah.
And it's a great video. So if anyone, it's called, what was it? Take Flight?
No, it's First Flight.
First Flight. Okay.
First Flight.
So yeah, and it's on YouTube. I know it is. So yeah, that's good. Now I want to ask you regarding your intuition. Like, do you think a lot of this? Like, I know you said you meditate and you receive messages, but when you're giving away your dollar, do you find that your intuition is kicking in?
That's a great question. I have the most fun with Giveaway a Dollar Day when I listen to my intuition. And my intuition is always, I think I've really learned that my intuition is the first voice I will ever hear. And then all of the voices I'll hear after that are me trying to talk me out of my intuition. Mm-hmm. So when I act on that first intuitive hit, those are almost always the most rewarding experiences with Giveaway a Dollar Day, and they're the most unique ones, and they're the new ones that I haven't done before. Because think about this, I've been doing this now for 4 years every day, and so there are definitely places and times and days where I give away in the same way that I've done multiple times before. I'll give you an example. In our office building, we have our UPS delivery person has a hand cart or a hand truck, you know, where they unfold it and put all the boxes on so they can load up the boxes and deliver them throughout the building. And he locks up the hand truck at the bottom of the stairs in the stairwell. And I always walk by that every day to get up to my office. And so what I will do, and I'll do this, I don't know, every maybe 3 or 4 weeks, I'll go slip a dollar bill, as long as I don't know when nobody's looking, I'll go slip a dollar bill right by the lock where he locks up his hand truck. And so this guy's getting tipped on a fairly regular basis, and he doesn't know where it's from. He doesn't know where it's coming from. But I just like doing it because I know the UPS guy is getting a little bit extra. And So that's something that I will do over and over again. That's not something I really do from intuition because it's something I'm kind of repeating. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know it's going to give him pleasure, so you leave it there, right?
But knowing what it's doing for him, and I have to imagine he probably goes home and he tells his family, well, guess what? I got another dollar bill today. So that mysterious secret dollar man, he keeps coming. So you know, I mean, I get a ton of joy out of that. Like I said, it's that's not necessarily from an intuitive urge, but it certainly is a fun one. But by far, the uh, the ones from my listening to my intuition, those are the great ones, because those are the ones that where I know Spirit is saying, go do this now. And I don't know why Spirit's saying that, but I have to trust that Spirit's probably saying, go do this now, because I already know who the recipient is, even if it's 2 days later, and they need it.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever give away, like, did you ever, like, do it in the morning and then in the afternoon think, oh, I wish I did it there, and then you do it again? Like, is that, do you like, have a pile of them that you carry around?
I do. I don't, most of the times I give away a dollar a day, but there are some times where I've given multiple dollars. I've also given away more than just a dollar. Sometimes I've given away a five and a ten. I have done a couple, this was a fun one. I took five bills and I rolled them up, and then my wife had made a pretty bow, and so we tied this roll of five $1 bills in a bow, and so I would go put that, you know, I'd go put that like on a store shelf somewhere. Now, you know, if you're shopping for something and you come up and you're browsing either the books or the CDs or something like that in your favorite store, and you see this roll of $5 bills with this bow, you know somebody didn't drop that there. That was like intentionally put there.
Yeah. And right. I wonder how many people walk by it. I bet you like thousands of people walk by it, because not everybody's going to grab a dollar. Like, they're going to think, no, oh, it belongs to somebody else. You know?
Yeah, that's true. When I first started doing this, I had all kinds of, I developed over the weeks and months when I first started a bunch of rules on what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. And one of my rules that I didn't want to do was I didn't want to look back and stalk the person stalk the dollar bill to see who was going to get it and what they were going to do with it. Because what I wanted to do, I had the belief that as soon as it left my hands, that it was in Spirit's hands, and his Spirit was going to take over and do whatever was called for it. And so I made a habit of not looking back. Well, from time to time, I have seen it just because it happened so quickly. And now, after 4 years, I've thrown all those rules out anyway, and I just have fun with it. And sometimes I may look, and most of the times I don't. But when I have looked and seen who has gotten it and what they've done with it, 9 times out of 10, they'll be with somebody and they'll be jumping up and down and going to run and tell the other person, look what I found. And one of the great times is when it'll be a family and a kid will find it. When a kid finds it, oh man, they go nuts and they can't wait to run over to their family and everybody and say, look what I found, waving it in the air, and they're having a blast with it. So, you know, things like that. I mean, if you just think about it, not only when I give away a dollar a day, and I want to include everybody in this, not only when we give away a dollar a day or whatever it is, whatever denomination that we're giving, not only are we giving prosperity to the person that finds it, but we're giving them joy, we're giving them the experience of joy, and when they're with friends and with a family, that joy is spreading to the whole family. So it's like, it's kind of like this very simple act is spreading prosperity and spreading joy infectiously, and that's what I think is so cool about it.
Yeah, that's perfect. So we're gonna go to a commercial break, and okay. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Todd Silva tonight, and we're talking about giveaway a dollar a day. So, Todd, I wanted to ask you, you're an engineer by trade. Do you ever have, like, are you ever nervous about the two colliding, or that everybody just knows you, you're the guy?
Well, actually, very few people in the business world that I interact with, very, very few people know that I do this, because it's not something that I go broadcasting a lot. And as I say that, I probably should more, and I'm not sure why I don't, except for I'm getting kind of this little nudge right now that I'm aware of an idea that I have that I would get criticized, or not, maybe not so much criticized, but judged. And in other words, I'm 55 years old. I've been through a lot of years in life, and I'm a businessman, and I'm fairly successful. And so there's that part of me that thinks that other folks would judge me if they knew I was giving away a dollar a day. Because, first of all, and I'm gonna mention stereotypes here that I think probably exist. I'm a man. I'm a businessman. I'm an engineer. I'm not supposed to do these kinds of things. You see what I'm saying? It's this fun, joyous, and therefore it's kind of an outrageous game. And so I'm not sure how well it would go over if folks in, you know, if my business associates, you know, knew much about this.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm in great, law, like that's question, my main job, same thing, kind of.
Yeah, it's a great question, and thank you for asking it, because it kind of stirs me up having to think about it and answering it for you, because then I realize, you know what, yeah, I do give away a dollar a day, but I don't give it away just freely and easily everywhere and anywhere yet. So I've still got growth to do. I've still got some growth.
Yeah. And then what do you do when the people say, well, I'm going to follow you everywhere and grab the dollar?
I haven't had that happen yet. And, that reminds me, my wife one time, I had given away a dollar a day one time, and my wife found it a couple minutes later, and she goes, look what I found. And I went back over to her, and I said, you know, in a typical controlling husband fashion, I said, hey, put that back, that's for somebody else. And she says, wait a minute, you said when it leaves your hands, it's in spirit's time. And I said, you know what, you're right, keep it.
Oh, that reminds me of something that I did once. I left this dollar by somewhere, and nobody took it, and nobody took it, and nobody took it. And I needed a dollar one day, and I took it. And I felt so guilty all day, and I felt like bad things started to happen, so I had to run down and put the dollar back.
Oh, wow. That's too funny.
Like, it felt like it was counteractive or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you a real quick story here. At my office several years ago, in fact, when I had just started this, I put a dollar in, and I was working in an office area where there were quite a few people that passed by this area every day. And so I put the dollar underneath this piece of paper, which was underneath this bottle of water that somebody had left there. It was on the top of a counter. So I put this dollar under there. And I was able to kind of watch it. And so the next day I saw it, and it was still there. And the next day, it was still there. And the next day, it was still there. And I was even aware that some people were coming by and talking about it and asking each other, is this yours? Is this yours? No, no. And they would just go on. I have to tell you this, Sharon, that dollar bill was there for 11 days until somebody finally took it. It blew me away that this many people would walk by it, and I mean, what it kind of was, it was almost kind of a study in human behavior for me, because it's like, one thing that I've learned in this is that when little kids find a dollar, they absolutely jump on it immediately. They don't think about it. They don't look around to see if somebody else dropped it. For them, it's theirs right now. Mm-hmm. But it seems like adults, more often than not, will look around to see if anybody's dropped it first, almost as if they're asking for permission from the universe. Can I pick this up? So there's something interesting in that to me, and I think what it is I think that little kids are so unencumbered by judgment that they just go for it. They're in the moment. They live in the moment, and they go for it.
Yeah, and it could be like they think that they're stealing if they take it because it belongs to somebody else, right?
Right, right.
You know, could be. I'm not sure. Now, what's your favorite story? Like, what's your, like, not that you did, because I know you have favorite stories, but that somebody wrote in about, what's your favorite heartfelt story?
Favorite story that somebody wrote in about? Golly, there was one that somebody wrote in about where they, where this one gal, and I can't say this is my favorite, but this is the one that's coming to mind right now because there's so many of them. But there was one that I'm remembering that I really loved, and it was a woman who had told her husband about it, and he just totally disbelieved it. He said, "Oh, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. What are you doing this for?" And so she wasn't very successful in convincing him. And then finally, a couple days later, he said, all right, I'll try it. And so he gave away $1. Later on that afternoon, they were getting in their car, and he looked down and he saw a $20 bill laying down. And that was the first day after many days where he just disputed this whole thing, and he finally broke down and did it, and he looked down a couple hours later after when they were getting into the car, and he found a $20 bill. He looked over at her, and she looked at him, and they both started laughing and crying at the same time.
No, it's so funny. I guess you hear all kinds of stories.
Oh yeah.
Now, you know, I find I don't do it all the time. Like, what'll happen is I'll notice that I'm not kind of in the flow, so it's almost like I do it again. Now, I guess each person is a little bit different. Do you find people do it their own way, or am I just being cheap?
No, you're not at all. And I've had lots and lots of questions. I mean, I've had some folks say, you know, I just don't have enough money right now to be able to give away $1 a day. And my response to them is please understand first and foremost that this isn't about the amount. It's about the gesture. It's about the act of giving away. And if all you can give away is a dime a day, or if all you can give away is a penny a day, do it and continue to do it, and do it with the idea of letting go of it. Do it with the idea of serving and giving to somebody else, and do it with the idea of joy and of love. And when you do that, you're infusing the whole act of service with just a magical power that is going to create prosperity coming for the other person and also coming to you. So, so I don't think there's a right way to do this or a wrong way to do this. I think whatever, mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that a person should do, and it's a question you asked earlier, a person should follow their intuition. They should listen to what their intuition tells them to do.
True. Now, does anyone ever compare it to tithing, the whole 10% thing, or do you ever get any backlash of that?
No, but when I first started it, I kind of looked at it in comparison to tithing, and I said one thing, the thing that I really am beginning to like, and this was back at the start of Giveaway a Dollar a Day, I said the thing that I'm beginning to like about Giveaway a Dollar a Day is that in this giveaway, once again, and you heard me say this a few times, in this giveaway, Spirit is in charge, and literally Spirit's in charge. Whereas when I tithe, if I'm tithing, for example, to a church, I'm giving a preset amount, and I'm writing out a check, and I'm giving it to this group and it's already destined to go somewhere, and it may go to something beautiful. It may go to a children's fund, or it may go to, you know, add on a new building, which I may ask the question, is that really necessary? So it's not always, it may not always, if I tithe, it may not always go where I really want it to go. Whereas when I give away a dollar a day, as soon as I let go of it, it's in Spirit's hands, and the joy and the release of it is already built in. And right. I had a friend of mine very early on compare it to tithing, and he said he just totally loves it, because he said it's got so much more power than sitting in the pew at church and writing out that check before the offering basket, you know, hurrying up to write up that check before the offering basket comes around and it's too late so that he can throw it in there. And he says week after week that almost feels cold.
Yeah, I like the it's like doing the tithing without the tithing. You know, I like it better. I think you're right. So, I think it's an easier way out. You know.
Yeah.
But so now, where do you see give away a dollar a day going in the future? Like, can you see it being added on to, or do you have any future for it, or is it the way it is and that's the way it's going to be, or?
Well, that's all your questions are so good, and that's another great one. I think, as I mentioned, I've been doing this for about 4 years, and within those 4 years, I was doing a few things. I had mentioned to you that I tried to start writing a book, and I just kind of decided, I said, you know what, this isn't me, this isn't what I do here. So, you know, however this gets delivered, it'll get delivered in another way. I have had a couple of articles published, and I've had several interviews, and so the word's gotten out that way. I was starting up a web store on Amazon.com, a giveaway store, about 2.5 years ago. And then I said, you know what, that doesn't fit either. And I realized I didn't want to turn this into an internet marketing thing. I didn't want to turn it into a business. It's just this humble little giveaway a dollar a day thing. And so my hope is that humbleness remains with it, but that more and more people do it each year. That's my hope.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, it has a profound impact on people. So, you know, it is getting out there. So that's really good. And, you know, I have to touch on the whole Joe Vitale thing, because we all know Joe Vitale is such a rich man, you know, and when you see that video where you're teaching him how to play guitar or something, and he gets up, and can you tell the people about that? Tell the listeners, or if you
sure,
don't want to, that's
sure.
fine.
Let's see. So Joe now lives in in a little beautiful little town called Wimberley in outside of Austin, Texas, and has lived there for many, many years. But he used to live in Houston, where I live, back in the 90s. And I met him in the mid-90s. Actually, he was a friend of my wife's, so I met him through her. And Joe and I became good friends. He's a very infectious personality, just a great guy. And so we used to pal around together. We'd have lunch together and hang out. And he, I learned pretty quickly that he was a real blues nut, and he wanted to learn how to play blues guitar. So, and then he asked me, and he knew I played guitar, and as a matter of fact, he had some book signings in Houston, and I played the guitar at some of his book signings. So he asked me, he said, well, do you ever give lessons? And I said, sure, I've given guitar lessons before. And I said, I'd be glad to teach you if you want to do some. So we did some lessons for a while, and I think I got him up to speed as best as I could. And then he eventually moved to, like I said, to Wimberley. We certainly don't see each other, you know, often or as much as I'd like to, but you know, we still stay connected. And so Joe's just been a good friend over the years, and you're right. I've just seen him go from I almost didn't want to say this, but the word that comes to mind is starving artist. And I mean, he was a struggling author for many years. But he just, you could always see it in him that he had that spark, that he knew that something was going to happen. It was going to take place for him. And he kept going and just never let anything get him down. And he had some good success after the next. And, you know, of course, you know where he is now, now today. So he's had some great successes. I'm guessing like around 1997, almost to the time, right around the time where he was getting ready to leave Houston, we had gotten together, and I had a bunch of promotional $1 million bills that I had bought. And when I say promotional, I had paid $20 for each of these bills, and they actually were minted in a real an actual mint that makes bills. So these $1 million bills were made with real bill money. They were made with the real techniques that you and the ink that you print with, and so they looked very, very authentic. They weren't like these cheap little things that were Xeroxed in a color printer. So I had several of these, and I was giving these out to a couple of folks, and I wanted Joe to have one. So I gave him $1 million bill back in, you know, 1997 or something like that. And I saw him at a seminar that he was giving in 2007, 10 years later, and that's where that video came from. And I had completely forgotten about giving him that bill. I didn't remember it at all. And he started out he was the keynote speaker at the closing of the seminar that I went to. And he started out the seminar by saying, you know, a long time ago, a friend of mine gave me something, and he's sitting here, and I want him to come up. And I wasn't thinking any. I was looking around like, who is it? And just like everybody else. And so he called me up, and I was like, oh, my God. And I started blushing, and I got all embarrassed. And he reached into his wallet, and he pulled out this. And after sitting in his wallet for 10 years, this $1 million bill was pretty raggedy, but it was still intact. So he said, Todd, I've made my millions, and I want to pass this now back to you. And I was like, I started crying, Sharon. It was just so amazing. It was really cool. And the thing that was really wild is I was the folks at this seminar knew that I was doing the giveaway $1 a day, and so they knew me as that. And then to see this happen with Joe, and you know, everybody came up to me later on and said, "You guys planned this, didn't you?" And I said, "No, I had absolutely no idea this was happening." And Joe didn't know yet that I was doing giveaway $1 a day, so that the whole thing was so synchronistic, it was unbelievable.
Right. And then did you take it back and put it in your wallet?
It is still in my wallet.
Well, that's good. Then you can make your millions.
That's right.
Now, before we go, I know that you had a story the other day. I got your newsletter about a lady in a wheelchair. Can you just tell us about that? And then that'll be the end. I'm going to have to let you go.
Oh yeah, this was such a good one. I remember this. I was running errands on a weekend day in Houston, and Houston is, as you know, is a very big city, and there's lots of cars and lots of traffic, and I had several errands to do, and I was buzzing around in traffic, and people were doing weird things driving and cutting me off and everything, and I was in a hurry, and I was probably acting like I was being just as much of a jerk as everybody else was being. And I just remember I was getting kind of irritated, and I was starting to get in a sour mood. So I pulled into one place where I actually had to go exchange a coffee maker that we had just bought that had quit working. And I still had I had a dollar bill in my pocket that I wanted to give away, and I hadn't done it yet. And as I was pulling up to the store, I saw a woman in a wheelchair, and I decided to pull right up next to her, and I wanted to get out right away. But I decided, you know what, I'm not going to just take this $1. I had several dollar bills in my pocket. I said, oh, what the heck, she's getting all these. She was very, I think she had cerebral palsy. I'm not positive, but she had the kind of She had the kind of disability that she had. Her legs were very thin and almost kind of short and really were pretty useless. Her arms were kind of shriveled and her hands were shriveled up. So when I reached over to give her the dollar bills, she could barely even pull her hand out to go get them. So what I did is I reached in and I grabbed her hand and I put the bills in her hand. And I looked at her and I didn't say this to her, but I just knew that she had the kindest eyes. And she said, just in the sweetest voice, she just said, thank you. And I just said, thank you very much, and bless you today. And then I went back and I got in my car. And the other thing, Sharon, that was in the end of August, and it was like, I don't know, 104 or 105 degrees out, Fahrenheit. I mean, it was so bloody hot, and here she was sitting outside. I don't know if somebody had dropped her there or how she got there, but somehow I hope I made a difference for her. And actually, what I did is when I was in the store, the whole time in the store, I could do nothing but think about her. So when I got out of the store, I went back to try to find her because I wanted to give her a 20. You know, I said, you know, that wasn't enough what I gave her. I want to give her more. And but I couldn't find her. She was already gone.
Maybe she was an earth angel. Sometimes that happens.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I think she was an angel. Because remember what I said when I was driving up? I was all irritated and edgy, and I was in a hurry, you know, and everybody else was in a hurry, and we're all in a hurry together, and we all don't like each other driving around in our little cars. And then I see this woman who she can't even begin to think about driving a car.
Yeah, that happens. But anyways, Todd, I'm going to have to let you go. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. You're doing amazing work, and thank you for being you, and you're the greatest.
Oh, thank you so much, and God bless you, and I love everything you do, Sharon.
Aw, you take care of yourself, okay? Thank you so much for coming on.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You can find out more about Todd at www.giveawayadollaraday. And of course, he's going to be on the guest page of Psychic Access Talk Radio. So I'd like to take a moment for a few announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Ooh. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working for Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know with Psychic Access, I am associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity. So my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851, and we should be getting to you about 9:15. So now comes to the time of the show where we talk amongst ourselves. So, Maureen, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm okay.
No electricity.
Yeah, from what I understand, they don't know what's going on here till maybe tomorrow in California.
Oh, geez.
So hopefully there's no gremlins coming our way. I'll have to pay them forward.
Yeah, there you go. Here's a gremlin. So
it was
a great show.
Did you like it? He was really wonderful. And in fact, I wanted to say that I thought it was going to be a little bit different about what he was doing, but what really came down to was humility and being humble, and I thought that was very lovely.
Yeah, he's very sweet. I just found that I was smiling the whole time. I don't know, whatever he's got, it rubs off.
Yeah, it wasn't about him getting something back so much. It's about knowing the art of being humble. I mean, really, it was lovely listening to him. And I thought it was going to be a little bit different, or his message would be, you know, it was very good. It was nice listening.
Aww.
So I wanted to let you know that. Thank you.
Well, that's good. So I have a question for you, Maureen. Okay. What act of paying forward have you personally acted on?
Well, humbly speaking, I have, well, I did, by choice, this was a healthy thing. By choice, over 10 years ago, I did make a choice to take my daughter and myself to move up now to San Diego, who has no electricity. Sorry, I should throw that in there. But my parents were at the time getting older. They weren't as old as they are now, but, you know, they needed a little bit of help, like, you know, little things like changing light bulbs, little things that people don't, they take for granted, or just cleaning, or, you know, changing the sheets, doing something like that. But I, by choice, decided to move out here to commit to that. And it's like your guest was talking about. He really made a commitment to what he's doing. And it was, I thought it was a healthy thing, and like I said, I did it by choice. It wasn't I felt obligated. I didn't do it, and I wasn't resentful. No one asked me to, you know, do it. But I moved 2 hours from where I was living, where I grew up, to be doing it in San Diego. And I'll tell you something. It was, and so 10 years, you know, is gone through, and people have heard my story before about what's going on with my family now. But my parents are very, you know, they're a lot older, and things are happening. But I really felt it was good, because I am a giving person, but, you know, you asked him something interesting about, well, it makes you feel good, you know? Even when, you know, a mother is feeding her child through her, you know, boob, a mother gets enjoyment out of doing that as well, right? So it's kind of like there's I did so unconditionally, and I do feel that in a way it's, well, I'll have to admit, this is a little part, like he was saying, sometimes that ego kind of jumps in. That I was also doing it because I was a single parent, completely single parent. There was nobody else for my daughter, no father figure. That I wanted her to see also me doing this, so later on she would learn that it would be a good thing to also give unconditionally to somebody else without anything being asked for in return. And that would be doing that for me later when I became older. So so that's, you know, that's how I see my act of unconditionally or paying it forward. And I'm also, but see, now after listening to him, he wasn't looking for something, you know, that movie that they had out, he wasn't looking for something to get back. But the universe does have a way of rewarding you for those humble things that you do.
Mm-hmm. It's
nice. Whether it comes from money or not, but I was rewarded with the fact that I became very close to a man that I really didn't like much, who was my father when I was growing up, and just embracing and hearing his stories and everything, that, to me, I got a lot back. So, there you have it.
Oh, that's nice. So we always find out things about everybody.
I know, don't we, though?
Yeah. Thanks, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you?
Thanks.
Now, do you believe in paying it forward? Why? And if so, why do you do this?
I absolutely believe in paying it forward. And I started, I would say, by giving energy and enthusiasm and time to people. You know, we don't have to have bags and bags of money to hand out. We can pay it forward energetically, because in my mind, money is just a manifestation of energy in any case. So we accumulate money normally through giving. So if you think of a traditional job, you go and you contribute your skills and your time, and in exchange for that energy, you receive money, which is a return on the energy that you contributed. So I like to think of money simply as one manifestation of our contribution, our energy and efforts in the world. And I love the the concept of giving away a dollar a day. I try to give away what I can afford to give, and sometimes that's to family, sometimes that's to the person behind me in the line at Starbucks drive through. I remember we had Shelley Hale on the show earlier this year, and she said that she always pulls up at the Starbucks drive through, orders her coffee, and asks to pay for the coffee purchased by the person in the vehicle behind. And I started to do that because I thought it was another great way, just like giving a dollar a day. So for me, it's absolutely part of understanding energy and intrinsic to the law of attraction. They say, if you want something, give it away. So if you want to be loved, then be love and give love to other people. And it's the same with money. We have to allow that natural flow, that natural circulation of energy, in order to play our role in the world, to make the world a better place, and to receive what we require as well in order to have happy, healthy, successful, abundant lives.
That's great. That's nice. That's nicely put. Thank you. So, it's a great way to unplug. But hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi there. I'm doing great. Thanks,
Sharon. That's good. Now, your question is a little similar. So it says, do you believe in paying it forward?
Yeah, my question is very similar. And yes, I do. And a lot of things Steve said I can completely agree with. So, Steve, you and I are going to be sharing an answer tonight. I believe it's the law of the universe. Whatever we put out there, we get back. Whether it's, and I loved Todd's view on things and his creativity on how he did this. But by either giving away a dollar, giving away your time, giving away a piece of yourself, your spirit self to somebody else, anything can draw back into you some really positive situations. I've had that myself. On the other side of the coin, though, too, I have given, and I was saying this in the chat too, somebody asked a question, and I can't remember what that statement was, but I have given money, that was a tithing question, that they have tithed and not, returned back on it. And here it is, folks, for me anyways in particular, when I've given away things under duress, feeling that I had to, and there was some either bitterness or holdback on my part, we don't get rewarded for that because it's not something of the spirit. It's not something you're doing willingly. If you're doing something out of duress, it's completely different than doing something from your spirit self and your heart and then getting the rewards back from it. And I'm a firm believer in things coming back to us times three, times ten, whatever the law is that works for you or that whatever you've experienced in your life. We also do the same thing here with the paying for coffee for people behind us. But I live in Canada, so our big thing for drive-thrus here is Tim Hortons. And I've had it happen to me a couple of times where I've driven up and said, it's been paid for. And what a wonderful experience to be on the receiving end of that. Just have to share.
Ah, so you're, I'm in Canada too, Patty, so that's interesting. So we got our tubies.
Me too. Yes.
Oh, so Maureen, I have a question. Thank you, Patty. Maureen, I have a question for you. What misconceptions do you think are connected with paying it forward idea, with the whole paying it forward idea?
Well, Patty just answered that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patty, I think that what you just said, it makes a lot of, that's what the misconception is about if you're under distress or if it's coming out of extremely dysfunctional proper energy from your own self. Mm. Don't you think, Patty, it's like, for me, for instance, I don't know, if a lot of people that do the work we do, I think, tend to do this in our personal lives, but I, for one, think that it can be where there's a fine line between what it is that I think I'm all that and I have an ego and I'm going to help this person and it's so dysfunctional and I'll take anything, abuse and all. Yeah. And that to me is a misconception about paying it forward because really in reality it's not. But Now, this comes from my own personal learning experience, which I'm all happy for, you know, but I did experience this with somebody, but it became very sickening. And I then had to step back and say, oh my gosh, I'm just controlling. I'm a control freak, a nice control freak. But I thought I was helping. Now, and this could be, and this was in the form of money. This was in the form of my emotions. This was in the form of my, was everything to do with my physical well-being and spiritual well-being. That it became to where I went down for the count for it. So, do you follow me on that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, very much so.
Yeah, and so, so, and the thing of it is, I think that there's going to be, you know, if there's people that are doing it, it all comes back to this, your intentions. What are your intentions with it? That's why I really liked what your guest said. At first, you know, it's not about, okay, and I am also a firm, I always talk about it, I don't believe in anything, all I know is what I know. But I do know that when we put good stuff out there, it will come back, and as it should be. Because there was a time where I didn't put good stuff out there when I was younger, and I was doing a lot of things to myself, self-medicating and doing things like that, that it, you know, it, it, you know, nowadays I don't want to get hit by a semi-truck. because of the fact that I know that someone gave me an extra $20, and it was not because of the way he's doing it, sharing your guest, but it was because of their mistake, and I caught it, and I didn't want to tell them, but they would get in trouble, you know, at the end of the day when they count the drawer. You know, I feel that, I don't know what you all feel, but I also feel that the misconception also, like when I read for people on psychicaccess.com, I always follow through on, now this is just what I do. I do follow through with most, I guess 99% of them, with follow-up email, which I spend a lot of time on. I mean, it's not just like a couple of minutes. And I do that because I want to. And for some people, it may be a little bit longer. I'll spend a little bit more time for the follow-up because I really do. It's not like this work is easy, you know. Our work is very difficult sometimes, but it's because I must, and I feel that's a way of paying. That's my time, and I'm giving it forward. I'm paying it forward, and I'm not doing it for a feedback. I'm not doing it for anything else. I'm doing it because it makes me feel good, and I guess in some way that's a little bit of an ego thing too. But it does make me feel good if it's going to help them, and sometimes they aren't helped and they get mad. But I do feel, I don't know. So there you have it.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? We all do what we do, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, you can tell Maureen that you're very giving. You're just, you know, you're always giving something. So,
yeah, so you gotta be careful, though.
Yeah, I know. There's a fine line between codependency and giving.
Yes, exactly.
So, Steve, I have a question for you. How is paying it forward connected to manifestation and the law of the universe?
Well, in my mind, Sharon, paying it forward is detachment. So there are a number of principles to the law of attraction. And I would say the hardest one to grasp profoundly and to truly practice is detachment. It's the basically the principle that if we hold on to something or we're overly attached to money or a particular outcome, then the truth is that in that state, we resonate lack. And so we're encouraging an energetic state of lack. And so that's what we're creating, and that's what we're emanating out to the universe and the world. So being clear which outcomes we would like, but without specific attachment to one thing in particular, is an element of the law of attraction. And I feel that allowing money to flow is an excellent example of detachment. It's saying that I trust the universe, and I allow this energy to flow. I trust that the spirit world, God, will provide what I need in the perfect way at the perfect time, and therefore I don't need to be overly attached to this particular dollar bill or this particular personal relationship. You know, relationships are fascinating because we so often become attached to the thought of being with a particular person, but again, that's not detachment, that's dictating to the universe specifically what we want rather than framing what we desire and what we choose to experience and magnetize into our lives without dictating the terms or the logistics and putting pinpointing a person, for example. Again, it's a state of lack because it's pretty much like saying that only this can do, and without this outcome, I am not worthy or it cannot be. So paying it forward, giving away a dollar bill or $10 bill or our time, whatever it is, it's detachment. That's what I feel.
That's good. Yeah, it reminds me of when people try to manifest a soulmate, but they want to make sure his name is George, you know?
It's true. Yeah. And no, I've had experiences with relationships and recognize that if I don't detach, as hard as it can be at times, if I don't detach, then I'm in a state of lack and it can't be the way it should be anyway. So we have to detach and reflect upon the lessons that we magnetize so that they don't have to repeat themselves. Because as you left and said, well, you know, somebody might want a relationship and they say, well, it has to be George. It's a great example because, again, if we don't learn and if we don't detach, we manifest the same relationship but with a different George or a different person, but we magnetize the same old lessons until we consciously embrace what we magnetized and integrate it into ourselves to become more of who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, detachment is a very difficult lesson in itself, though, I feel.
Oh, it is.
Extremely difficult.
It is, and Maureen, as much as I can, do my best to explain it that way, it's something that I have to think of and work on every day, and there are times when I am not detached, and it's sometimes, especially when our heart is involved, it's so hard to detach.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I get it right all of the time by any means. I certainly don't. I could have people testify, but I don't.
Yeah, we have to remind ourselves that we're not in charge. Patty, I have a question for you now. So have you ever experienced abundance from this one simple act?
You know, I have, but I've got a little story behind that. Many years ago, I used to own a clothing store, and I had a friend who needed to borrow some money because she had a store as well, and she was going through some very difficult times. So I loaned her a large sum of money. I think it was about $1,300. And, you know, I gave it willingly at that point in time, but there was an expectation to get it back because that was the deal. After about 3 years' time, and you know, it actually broke up a friendship, which is unfortunate, and it's very true. I have a friend who always says that, you know, when you owe somebody money, you're the one that it owes you. You're the one that becomes the bad guy. And after a while, I let it go, you guys. Like, and I mean, I truly let it go. It was like, obviously, she needs this, and It just doesn't matter. Look, it's a gift. That's it. I left it alone as a gift and released it and truly meant it within my spirit self. Well, I have to share with you guys, within 24 hours, without any contact from her in months and months and months, just out of the blue, she showed up at my door with this money, and which I took as a gift at that time because I really needed that money and put it out to universe that, you know, please, something come in, something happened. And lo and behold, it did. But that happened once I let go of the expectation or the bitterness or those emotions that I was hanging on to at the time.
That's great. That's detachment. That's detachment. You detach from it.
That's right. That's right. And as soon as the detachment happens, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And are you guys back friends again?
Yes, we are.
Good.
That's a great thing.
Yeah, that's a good story.
We've had some good talks about it too, so it was an experience.
Good stuff. So thank you. So now we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call in first due to their wait time. The call in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call when you call. Comes in, you will be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You will be able to speak to us when you are placed on the air. Please try to be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone into it directly to the area of interest. And the first call we have is from Florida for Steve.
Hi, who do we have calling from Florida? Do we have a caller from Florida?
Hello? Nope. Don't know what happened, Steve.
Oh, well, not meant to be.
Hello?
Not meant to be. I think we're going to have someone else here for you.
Hello? So
hello? Are you there from Florida?
Hi, sorry. I thought you were asking someone named Steve. Sorry, I'm from Florida.
Oh, okay, there you go, Steve.
Oh, thank you. What's your name?
Sorry. My name is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm really good.
Good.
Oh, go ahead.
How can we help?
I just have a kind of question right now. I'm a little lost right now, and I'm just wondering what I can do. I'm a mother of twins and a 4-year-old, and I've been a stay-at-home mom for quite a while. Just kind of looking for some direction. I'm really not sure what I want to do with myself and my career. I just feel I've been really depressed lately and kind of like felt jammed up or almost stuck. And I'm just trying to get some direction.
Okay. Let's see. Well, the first challenge that you need to address is that you are not spending enough time outdoors and with nature. My guides are really clear about the fact that you need to be earthed, you need to be grounded, and you're spending too much time indoors. And I know it's a challenge with young children, but you really need to make sure that you're out, you're breathing fresh air, that you're, even if you just stand on the lawn with your, you know, bare feet, feel the earth under your feet, and get grounded. That's really important for you. And the other thing that's important for you right now is you really need to try to create some balance. You obviously, you've got young children, and it's the most wonderful job in the world to bring children into this world and to educate them and help them to take their roles in this world. But you need to also make sure that you do, on occasions, have some time to yourself. My guides are saying you love to read, but you're really not reading or able to make time to read even at the moment. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah, I don't have really time to do anything but deal with my children. I'm so busy. They're all young, very young.
Yeah. And but you do remember that it's a wonderful, wonderful role to play. It's absolutely wonderful to raise children. I don't see you stepping out into the world and taking a job. I see you really focusing on learning and making time, some time, establishing a routine for yourself to read, learn about spiritual development, work on yourself. Working on ourselves is such a great way to learn about spirituality and see how we can help other people. But my guides are saying that, in actual fact, you're very intuitive. You will ultimately give readings, but you'll also be quite interested in psychology. But you need to start with exploring yourself and creating a schedule that allows you to have a little bit of downtime to absorb the information, the concepts that you crave. Because at the moment you feel depressed because you're really not able to, or you're not creating some space for yourself. You also need to set some boundaries with the kids about your downtime. And I know that's hard, but you need to be a bit more, you need to be stricter about when the activities stop and they settle down and just play together, or when they are in bed and you have some time to yourself.
Wow. That's so right on. I just wanted to ask you if you could get a quick feel about my marriage right now. My husband is a wonderful man. He works night and day to take care of us. Just it feels a little rocky maybe because we're young, but I really do love this man. I think we're soulmates. But being young and having children and him always working, it is quite stressful.
Yeah, it absolutely. And I asked my guides about him. He's a good guy. The month of April comes up really strongly around you, and that's partly because you have a female on your mother's side of the family that was either born or passed in the month of April. But also, just April as a month comes up very strongly. Did you meet or marry in April?
No. No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, we got married
the month of April.
August 15th.
Okay, well, my guides are saying the month of April is a really important time in your life, your path. And if you look at your astrology and look for this lady on your mother's side of the family, initial is M, and she's very closely related to a G, a male whose name begins with G. Look at that, because you'll see that April's a very significant time in your life, and you'll see that if you can focus on some self-development and just time for yourself, and also make some time just for you and your husband to be together and to be alone, just once or twice a week, you really need to have a date or make time for yourselves. You'll find that if you can do that, by the month of April next year, you will really feel far more settled, and you won't feel depressed. You'll actually feel very excited about your life and your spiritual development. Okay?
Oh, that's really great. That's really great. Can I ask you one quick question before we end here?
I can't take another one, I'm afraid, because we've got callers queuing and we need to get through them. But do call in again next week or another time, and we'll definitely take another question from you. Or join us on psychicaccess.com, because you can get a free 6-minute reading with the psychic of your choice online.
Okay, and thank you for your guidance very much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Bye.
Good luck.
All right, that was a great reading, Steve. Now we have a call from Maureen from Virginia.
Hi, Virginia. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Fine. Who's this?
This is Dee. How are you, Maureen?
I'm sorry. Did you say Dee? Dee?
Dee, yes.
D. Hi, Dee. I'm doing okay, except no electricity in California. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry to hear.
Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a question. I kind of just reconnected with someone, and I'd like to know if you see the relationship or friendship evolving, and if so, when?
Okay. And is this somebody, okay, obviously somebody from your past, and I'm going to ask you, are you both available at this time to be able to move forward if I see the opportunity, you know, if I, you both single?
Yes.
Great. Such a relief. I'm not going to go in the past much, but it does look like there was some bad timing with your relationship in the past. It was what it was. And, you know, I really feel that timing never used to be much of anything until I got older, until I became a little bit wiser and older. Timing does have a lot to do with things that is he a businessman? I see a businessman. He appears to be a businessman, that would have a company, or he's a businessman. Is this him I'm seeing? Is this him?
He has his own. He works for someone, but he kind of has his own business.
So yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of commotion around his company, or something has been going on. Now, I do see him in a really higher vibration right now, with regards to reconnecting with you. So, you know, there was some really sad stuff that went on between you two, and I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was intense. And I don't know anything about how long it's been since you, whatever. But I do feel it's almost like there was a thief in the night that took, and it wasn't fair. Something happened, and like the timing wasn't right, and all that stuff that I was saying in the past. But now I do feel that it's coming full circle, and there's fairness and there's justice around you two. And there's still some judgment coming from some group of family. Who cares? It's like, it doesn't matter. I don't feel that anybody should be, if anybody does try to interfere, I do see this relationship moving forward. I see you have a very strong connection, psychically speaking. You can communicate by means of not having phone or anything like that. You can feel each other. He appears like he wouldn't be the type that you would think. I look beyond appearances, but he is very, you two have a very strong bond. It's going to be a little bit difficult though, in the next couple months, because I think there's some issues going on around his company, and I think that he might be shutting down. Also, I think there's some stuff from the past that I think you're looking to have settled, or to have, someone say they're sorry. You know, and it may be that might be a little difficult. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I do feel your sleep's going to be kind of hard. But all suddenly, you know, I do feel, I see you completely freeing yourself from self-imprisonment, and it's fantastic. And I do see this moving forward. Don't let what happened, or try to stay away from what happened. It looks like it was in January at some period in time. In the past, you two, there was a lost victory in the winter month, January, February. This does not need to go that way again, because I feel that this is a good opportunity, and the timing is right. And you also are able to manifest everything. It's at you. It's your choice. You're able to manifest everything into your physical world right now. Your personal power is very strong. But it will be like kind of difficult. Like I said, it'll feel kind of awkward. Like I said, I don't know what happened. I think there was some interference or some real weird stuff that came involved. But I feel that you two are very, I think you're going to thrive in the future together.
So you see the relationship progressing, or
yes.
I just kind of step back and just see what happens?
No, I see it moving forward, but I also see that there's some stuff from the past that might have, keep it, that's why I say it'll be, what was I saying, the next, I forgot because it just comes out of my mouth, the next couple months or four, hopefully you heard me, it might be a little bit awkward, because I think that whatever went on when you, the last time you were connected or something went on, I think there was some, it was, like I said, the timing wasn't good. It was some very intense stuff, and it's almost like, I feel you need a new agreement, and this is the thing. To be able to move forward is a fresh start, and I do feel that, yes, and I see it, and I just feel that if you let yourself get pushed down to the stuff that went on before, it could be difficult. Now, the way I read is, you can make a negative into a positive, but I do see you absolutely freeing yourself from that. And what anybody else says, it doesn't matter about what they think about you and him or anything. It's none of their business.
Okay, because he's very hard to read. I'm very intuitive, but it's very hard for me to read him.
He's a very private businessman type, and I can see that. But I also feel that you could, that's why I said, he doesn't appear like you have a very strong connection. Psychically, you can pick up on each other on each other's energies when you're not even on the phone or email or anything else. He is like that. I know that he's a type of man, but there is a strong bond between you two, and I know he doesn't talk much, but I feel that I do see you later on and thriving as lifelong partners. I really do. And there is fairness. There is a sense of fairness. Again, I want to tell you this. There is a sense of fairness. It's just, it's time. The timing's right. You probably came back from lifetime to lifetime to finally get it right with him. I can't go way back into that, but.
Okay, so you see it moving forward.
Yes, I do. And I do see whatever happened in the past, you're almost going to have to start out with a new agreement and fresh start.
Well, I try not to address. It's like the elephant in the room that neither one of
exactly.
us is talking about. So.
I think that's exactly what
I'm saying.
I'm not saying
that.
I condone whatever went on or what happened, but I think that you two have, you know, it's good, but I know that's hard, but but I do feel that he's a good guy. He's on a very good vibration right now.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope I helped
you. Thank you, Maureen.
Mm. Thank you, Dee. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Great reading, Maureen. Now we have a reading for Patty and someone calling from North Carolina.
Hello, North Carolina. Are you there?
Hi, Patty. This is Jenny calling from North Carolina. So good.
Hi.
So good to speak to you.
Oh, it's so good to speak to you too, Jenny. What's going on in your life?
Yeah.
What can I help you with tonight?
Yeah, I have an issue that has come up in the past couple of months. I recently broke up with my boyfriend, and now I started seeing someone else, but he's been acting very distant and started seeing someone else, and I'm wondering if we have any chance of a dating again or anything. And yeah.
What was his name?
I met him at work, Bryce.
I'm sorry, say again?
Yeah, it's Bryce.
Bryce, okay. Let me just take a look for you, Jenny. Well, you know what? Here it is, sweetie, too. If you guys got back together tomorrow, you and Bryce, you would still have the same issues today as you had when you were split up. And in saying that, my throat started to close a little bit as soon as we started talking, and that's always an indication that you two have still got a lot of things that you need to work out. And if you do get back together again, this is going to take a lot of work. This is going to take a lot of work. And I'm talking about sitting down and truly just putting things on the table and not doing the dance. You know how when people get together, when they first start dating and they start doing the dance, they want to put their best face on and their best foot forward. And when we get into that relationship and that face falls and that best foot forward falls away, that's when, I guess, and I hate to use the terminology, that's when we start taking each other for granted. We don't communicate properly, and communication is a big key. It really is. Bryce has got a lot of walls up around him, honey.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and they're hard for you to get through. And I got to say, you've got, and it's not to put it all on Bryce, I'm not picking on you, Jenny, but you've got walls up too. So you put you two together, and no wonder there's a communication problem. You're trying to protect yourself from him. He's trying to protect himself from you. And this, of course, is all based upon your previous experiences all the way around.
Right.
And you don't even realize it. This is almost at a subconscious level. Do I think you and Bryce, or do you want me to go forward here? Because if I wonder, how do I put this? You and Bryce may not last forever and ever. I do see you guys kind of doing the dance again and sitting down and talking. But on the same token, honey, I really do believe that there's seems to be another male energy coming in for you here shortly. And this is going to bring a big shift in your life. You know, for me, you're just covered in orange, and orange is a big color for me when it comes to changes. You're in an adjustment period right now, too. And this guy that's coming in, quite interestingly enough, there's a familiarity in the energy. And when we talk about soulmate energies, and remember, it can mean many, many things, including friendships that you had maybe in previous lifetimes. I don't know what your belief systems are, but there's a familiar energy there. Mm-hmm. You guys have got, you guys bring out the best in each other without bringing all your baggage into it. There's a safe feeling for it, for within this new relationship for you. There really is a very safe feeling. So my advice at this point in time, and I can't tell you what to do, honey, is keep your options open. And remember, and I tell this to a lot of my clients, every relationship we're in is not a waste of time in any way, shape, or form, honey. It's not. It just is a step or a catalyst to prepare us for the ones that we're supposed to be in, if that makes any sense, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so there's still a lot of work to do.
Right. I was going to ask if, like, Bryce still likes me, or, like, what's going on? I mean, I know he's seen someone else, but, like, it was just all of a sudden. So yeah. I'm just wondering, like, what's going on through his head, or how I can, you know, like, pacify things, because we do work in the same place.
Okay. For Bryce, listen, his connection with, there's actually two female energies around him, but his connection to you is quite strong. And I feel there's a regret there, like, you haven't finished things. Neither of you, let me put you this way. This little dance between you and Bryce, your relationship with him, isn't finished yet. It isn't finished yet. There's still a little ways to go. There's things that you both need to work out and things that you both need to learn from each other, whether that be in a negative or positive sense. And really, there is no such thing as negative. Everything that we learn, that was driven home to me last night, actually, through a friend who's a very gifted medium, is there is no such thing as the negativity in this. But you two still have to go through the motions. Yes, he still thinks about you. Yes, he's still very, very connected to you. So you will be hearing from him again, of course, and he will be on your doorstep again. So again, I feel you guys will sit down and have a talk and move forward a little bit. But remember, there is another male energy coming in, and this one is pretty strong and very, very good for you, by the way. Very good for you.
Okay. And can I ask, what would you be able to tell me when around?
When around? You know what? I'm going to say soon.
Yeah.
Number three, I got to tell you, I'm one of those psychics, I don't like giving out time frames unless I get something very, very strong. I'm going to say within the next 3 months or so. And that's pretty strong.
Okay. Okay?
I hope I helped a little
Sounds
bit anyway.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jenny. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Patty. That was wonderful. Now we have a caller from New York City. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hi, and my name is Sharon, and I'll be doing your reading. So did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes. I just had some email exchanges with a professor who sort of didn't order some books on time, and now I feel like she's throwing it off on the students, and I was trying to tell her that it was really her responsibility, and I'm just wondering if I ruined my relationship with her and if it's going to affect my grade negatively.
Okay. first of all, it's really sometimes hold back, and you know, you sometimes do things like spur of the moment, and it bites you, you know. So you just have to be a little bit careful with that in your life. I do feel that this lady's very professional, and I don't feel that she will make a big deal about it. I don't think that she will go behind your back or anything like that. Plus, I feel you're really good at the subject, so you'll be able to shine. Even if she's trying to make you not shine, you'd still be able to shine. So try to get all the negativity away from the whole situation. And even if an apology has to take place, maybe you have to say, oh, sorry, I was like, you know, I was on the edge of my seat, and maybe it came out in the email a little bit strong, you know, something like that. Or, you know, but I'm not feeling that it'll be any damage, not too much damage. And you are correct, basically, you know, you are correct. So I can't see her making too much of a big deal. But, you know, remember in your future that sometimes less is more. So sometimes we have to just be a little bit careful. And I do feel... I'm getting, I know this isn't part of your question, but I kind of get a feather around you. So I'm feeling that you're a very good writer, and I feel like you've had past lives of writing, and if that's ever something that I'm seeing like a feather pen, which usually means to me it's from another time, another place. So if you ever have the urge to write, that might be something you want to do. I know you didn't ask that, but that's what I was getting around you.
What was my other question? You said, like, if an apology has to be there, like, the problem with an apology is that, like, I feel, like, so strongly that she's in the wrong that any apology I will sound, like, fake, and I think will worsen the situation.
Okay, well,
so
as long as you're not attacking her, because
feel
remember,
like I don't want to apologize, I just want to let it go. You think that'll work?
Yeah, let it go. Just let go of the energy. Like, don't, you know, if you're angry at her, let it go. You know, if you're, you know, you've had your say, just let go. And, Steve was talking about a little bit before about what to do. Just, you know, because as long as you stay attached to it or fear to it or anything like that, you're going to make it a little bit worse, okay? So just let it be.
Yes.
And
I'm sorry, I was just wondering if, like, if I don't apologize, if it will be okay.
Yeah, Spirit's saying apologize, but do it in a way that's, you know, not, you don't even have to apologize per se, but just sort of say, I sent you that, maybe my email didn't come out right, but, you know, that's just how, whatever you have to do to make it right, because you don't, you know, why be on her angry side? You don't want that, right? Because she's
okay,
the one with all the power, kind of, right? You know, and then next time really think about before doing something like that.
So the spirit is saying that I have to say something to her.
I would think about what you're going to say, so that if you don't want to apologize, that's fine, but say it in a way that's, you know, you hope it didn't come out too strong or something like that, you know, or else just disconnect from it and let it go. Do whatever you have to do. I feel you're going to be fine. You're going to get a fine grade anyway, so, you know, maybe you don't even have to worry about it. All
okay.
right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, bye.
All right. Bye. So we have a call for Steve from Indiana.
Hi, who's calling from Indiana?
Hi, Steve. My name is Joe.
Hi, Joe. How can I help?
Well, my question, I guess, is a little vague of sorts, but I guess my real question is, I want to know if you see me getting into any type of romantic relationship with anybody in the near future.
Okay. I do, Joe, and I'll ask my guides to give us a timeline. But Joe, my guides are saying that even though there is a relationship on the horizon, your focus should be on your career, because for some reason, you are holding back from the path that you're meant to take professionally. And it actually feels very much related to counseling, psychology, even psychiatry.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, do you see me changing careers anytime soon, or?
I see you working towards it over about, well, it's two, my guys are giving me 2 to 4 years, so there's study and focus for a couple of years, and then you shift onto this path. But you have a very strong interest in metaphysics. You're very well guided, very, very intuitive, and you'd be a fantastic psychologist or psychiatrist. My guides are really, really firm about that. I do see a relationship as well. My guides talk of March, and they give you the numbers 24 and 27. How old are you?
I'll be 26 in November.
You're 26, okay. Well, I want you to remember the numbers 24 and 27, because they give you these numbers for two reasons. One is because you're within that time range in terms of your own age, and you've grown a huge amount during this period. If you think back to when you were 24, you've changed dramatically for the better, and you must continue to grow and help other people to grow. You've had a tough time. You had a tough childhood as well, and now is your time. But they say remember the numbers 24 and 27 as well, because it's between the 24th and the 27th of either March or April next year that you will meet the person that you will have a long-term relationship with. But make sure that you really, really get clarity about your career, because your role is very, very important. In the longer term, you'll also work a lot with kids that need support with psychology, psychiatry, and spirituality as well, actually.
Like, I guess, do you see me working more as, like, a true psychologist in, like, an office-type setting, or do you see me doing more, I guess, I want to say, maybe spiritual counseling, so to speak?
I see you integrating spiritual counseling, but their answer is it's full-on psychology or psychiatry for you. But with your spiritual knowledge and your interest in metaphysics, because it's so much needed in that field. But no, they're saying you're a very bright guy and they want full-on study and psychology, psychiatry for you.
Interesting. That's a new one for me. I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, let us know how it unfolds. We'd love to hear your feedback. But do look forward to that relationship. It's going to be a good one. But remember, 24, 27, you've grown a lot. And between the 24th and the 27th of March or April, you will meet or settle right into a fantastic relationship. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
You're welcome, Joe. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Okay, now we have a caller for Maureen from Florida.
Hi, Florida. This is Maureen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
And what's your name?
I'm Tina.
Hi, Tina. I'm ready for you. What can I help you with?
Okay, I just had a question about my husband's job.
He
worked for a company, and a larger company purchased that company, and they've laid off a lot of people, and he's heard rumors that he may be next in line to be fired.
I got it.
I was wondering if you see anything like that happening, and
how
it'll work out for him.
You know, this is the thing. Wow. You know what? He's got so much going for him, and he's not being acknowledged. He's not one that is acknowledged. He doesn't get credit where he should. And I think, bless his heart, I feel that if he, you know, I'm not clear. I have a feeling that he might leave on his own. I don't feel that he's going to get the boot, but I think that everybody else around your family does.
Oh, really?
There's not a lot of support with what he does or what he chooses to do. And I'm wondering, are you supportive of him?
Yes. I try to be. I think that I am.
Well, no, and I'm not trying to ask you. You know,
yeah, I mean,
but I know, because I don't know the work he does. I think sometimes things like this happen at some places. I don't know if he's in the union or some sort, but whatever, whatever he does, it's like things have happened before in sometimes when he's gone into another area. But I do feel that this is going to be a really good time. It's like everything that he wished for, I think, and in what his work is, it didn't turn out the way he wanted. I think he's feeling like the family's dishonoring him. And I'm not saying that this is the case. I think he feels there's a mother figure that looks like she's not approved. It's like, you know, men, well, women do too, they feel a sense of inadequacy a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're inadequate. I think your husband has so much more that he's overqualified, I guess is the word I'm looking for. So I don't feel he's going to get the boot, but I do feel that this is going to be a really good time. You didn't ask this, but it's a good time that he's looking. I almost like see him looking out. I'll just use the water as an example, looking out into the water and really focusing on, he has a vision of something else. And I do see him, I see him around the first of the year really manifesting exactly what that is. And I see him really taking control of his personal power and going for it. Cause he's been working, you know, he puts in everything. He works, he has so much patience. It could be to a fault with this, cause he works so hard and doesn't see the fruits of his labor coming back. And it's really hard. It's draining. It's exhausting. And I just feel that there's something else. He's heading towards a really good place. So I feel that, again, I don't feel he's going to get the boot, but I think later on he's going to, by choice, give his own boot.
See he and I working together? Because I have my own business, and he's thought about coming to work with me, but we kind of haven't wanted to put all of our eggs in one basket. So
you are. Absolutely, and you two actually can go even further than that, because that would be fantastic. But I do feel it's around the first of the year that I see him going off, and so maybe if that timing if you can understand that timing a little bit, if that's something that in your mind, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. So, yeah, absolutely. But I do see him going off.
And you feel like he feels like that there's some disrespect from our family? Is that, that's what you're...
He feels a sense of inadequacy, and I just think I'm not saying that this is really going on, but it's almost like by his eyes, it looks like there's family dishonor. Like he's not doing what he should. You know what I mean? Like when you're married and other people in the family think, well, he should be doing better. You know that. And like I said, I'm not saying that's actually going on, but his perception is that. I think that he's feeling very sad about things what he wished for and desired did not come to be, and. That's not the case. Like I said, I feel like the first of the year, there's something. So if you're thinking about bringing him in with you in the first of the year, it's going to be fantastic, because I see him really taking back his personal power. He's really healthy. Not healthy, I'm talking about health, but healthy to be in a position to really go for it. There's something more. And he's not getting acknowledged, like I said, or the credit that he deserves where he's at right now. Absolutely not. Right. Nobody can. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
I hope that helped you.
It did. And, it did.
And you take care, and you and your husband go. Go for it.
Thanks so much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, we have a call here for Patty from Florida.
Excellent. Hello, Florida. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. Hi there, honey. Can I get your first name?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. So what's going on in your life? What can I help you with tonight?
I have a few things going on in my life, but mainly I wanted to ask you tonight about some disturbing dreams that I've been having.
Okay.
I've had them since childhood, and they're getting more intense now. And I'm wondering if it's just stress from being in school and working and being a mom, or is it something deeper, or, you know, that kind
of
question.
I can tell you one thing right off the bat before I even hear about the dream is very clearly when we have repetitive dreams over and over and over again, there's messages in our dreams, and they do need to be interpreted, and you're not getting the message is what it is. Can you tell me briefly about the dream?
Well, they're actually very terrifying dreams. Like, I feel like I leave my body during the dream, and it's not a pleasant experience at all. Yeah, it's really bad.
Well, for you, I love it personally.
First of all, but I would if it was a pleasant thing, but it's usually something dark and scary, so.
Okay, so really that's representing fear in your life, and a fear that goes right back to childhood, actually. And fear, and there is an expression for it, and it's true, fear is false emotions appearing real, and they are even through our dreams. Are you being chased by something?
Not that I know of.
So in your dream, were you being chased by something?
No.
It's just that feeling of leaving your body and going someplace dark, or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I leave my body, and then I don't know how to explain it, but it's almost like something dark is in the room. Like, I can see the room. It's the same room I'm in, but something dark is there trying to get me.
Okay. All right. And you know what? Those are almost what I would want to look at as a closet fear of some sort. Sometimes we don't even know what the fear is. This is something I wish I could solve for you in one reading, honey, and I really do wish I could, Sarah, but this is something we would have to go in and go backwards, backwards, backwards. This particular problem would be, or situation or issue would be really well served well by doing a regression, going backwards, finding out where this fear stems from in order to get an answer of why it keeps recurring. Once you get the message, you're going to be great.
Oh, that's good.
From what I'm getting, honey, it's nothing to worry about. It's not gloom and doom. It is just a message about your life or how you're operating through life that you're not getting.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But don't sweat it, okay, girl? It's not a big deal.
Okay.
You will get the message. And then there's going to be some shifts coming up in your life, which is very exciting. Good.
What's that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
I said, then once you figure out what it is, the message is, and once you get that, that's when the new shift is coming into your life. The shift is going to happen, and this shift is going to bring some good things with it, because you'll be able to release whatever this fear is. And I can almost reassure you, this fear is basically, because it's from childhood, it is a childhood fear. Once you take a look at it as an adult, it's going to change everything.
Wow, very interesting. And really quickly, I'm in school right now. Do you think that's going to work out for me, what I'm going to school for?
Yes, I do. You've had some struggles, though, eh?
What's that?
I said you've had a few struggles with it, haven't you?
Struggled with school?
With school.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's a few rough spots, girl, but you know what? You're going to get through, and I want you just to try and stay focused and understand something. Be good to yourself, too. And what I mean by staying focused is also not beating yourself up. I would really like to take that baseball bat out of your hand, because you're really hard on yourself, and stop being so hard on yourself. Be good to yourself. Concentrate on school and one thing at a time, and you'd get distracted very easily. Look, something shiny. So
yes, I do.
Just stay focused, okay? And you're going to rock it, girl.
Okay.
You really will. Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Now we have a call from North Carolina. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My name is Sharon, and I'll be taking your call. How can I help you tonight?
My husband works out of town, and I believe it was Tuesday night he had gone out, and he's cheated in the past, and I've been trying to figure out if he's cheating, because I felt so, you know, extremely anxious when he was
all right. Now, this is something that happened a long time ago. Now, you know, sometimes we have to be careful, because we keep testing our, you know, when we go through a situation, we test and we test and we test. And we kind of, you know, we like, I feel you're very strong, you know, I feel you're very strong in certain things. And when we overtest someone, we kind of not make them do it, because they, you know, they have their own things to do. But I kind of feel that you've gotten between a rock and a hard place. So just be careful of that. I'm feeling that, no, he didn't this time. But I just, you just have to let go of the testing a little bit. Do you know what I mean by that at all?
Yes.
Okay, because it's sort of like, if we think someone's going to cheat, we'll challenge them. We'll say things. We'll put it in their mind. We'll blame them already before they do it. And then what happens is we kind of squeeze them over there, and they don't know where to go, you know. And I feel you're very strong. I feel you have a very strong personality. That's what I'm feeling from spirit. So you know, I don't feel he's as strong as you, you know, and you just got to be really careful. But this time, I don't feel he cheated. Now, did you accuse him, or like, did something happen where you know he did, or?
No, I just felt like extremely anxious, like, you know, something he had done was wrong. And
right. Okay.
I just felt so strongly.
Yeah, well, have a little faith, and you know, every time you think of, try to let go of the past of what happened and move forward and treat it sort of like a new relationship from that date, because otherwise it's just, you're never going to have any trust, and it'll just be negative all the time, right? So try to rebuild from a base after that fact. Does that make any sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, because I feel that you guys have a lot to work out together, and it does feel like a good, now is there a child at all in the relationship?
Yeah,
okay.
Together.
Yeah, so just, you know, give it a little bit of, take some of the tenseness away and see where it goes. All right?
Okay.
Okay, take care of yourself.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. So we have another call from Vermont for Steve.
Oh, hello.
Hi, hello? This is Steve.
Oh, hi.
What's your name?
I'm Jason.
Hi, Jason. How can I help?
Well, let me see. I was wondering if you could help me in my romance department.
Okay, let's see. Well, Jason, when I ask my guides about your situation at the moment, I feel quite isolated. So you're either single and wanting a relationship, or you're in a relationship that doesn't fulfill you, because I feel a loneliness.
No, I'm single. You're right about that. I am single. There's no woman in my life at this time. That's what I was hoping to ask you. Is do you see any women coming into my life at any possible near future?
I see, Jason, a relationship. I'm drawn to the month of August next year, and that doesn't mean that nothing happens until August of next year, but energetically I'm really drawn to the middle of August, and I feel that that's when you will meet the right person, the right partner. My guides are saying that you're an exceptionally committed, loving guy, and you not only want to meet the right partner, but you want to settle down quite quickly, and I see you having children quite quickly, even as soon as the year after next, so that would be 2013. So if you're meeting somebody in August of next year, that's pretty quick. But I feel it all happening very suddenly. But my guides are saying to you that you really need to socialize much more. For some reason, you're being a little limited in your social circles. I don't feel as though you're socializing anywhere near as much as you should. Do you work for yourself?
Okay. If I throw a name out, would you be able to get anything? Would you be able to tell me about this certain person at all?
Yes. Yep.
Her name is Kristen. What could you tell me about her? We do have some history, by the way, me and her.
Yeah, I feel good about Kristen as a person. I feel as though she's an optimistic person and a positive force in your life, but I don't feel that now is the right time for her.
Is it possible we'll ever get back together?
Yes, it is. It is. Do you know, why does the month of February come up so clearly between the two of you?
February.
It's really clear.
It's neither one of our birthdays. I don't know. We had a bitter breakup, and now she's with someone else. I was just wondering is it possible she'll come back to me someday?
It is possible, but you shouldn't count on it, Jason. You should live your life. And, you know, we were talking about the law of attraction at the beginning of the show. Don't become attached to one possibility. Be open to all possibilities. As my guide said, you really have got to socialize more. You've got to really broaden your social circles. But there's some kind of... there is a connection between the two of you, and the month of February comes up really strongly. You may find that you're back in touch with each other in February, or that she separates in February, because that month is so clear around the two of you. But that would be too soon as well. You've really got to get out there, enjoy life. It's August next year that you will settle into the right relationship, and maybe it will be her, but don't be attached to that particular relationship. Detach from it in the sense that you energetically invite the spirit world and the universe to bring you whichever solutions, whichever opportunities they feel are right for you and for everyone else. But you really need to get out and socialize much more.
Right. Well, I have to be honest, I am kind of hung up on her, and we just don't talk anymore, me and her. So I was just, I've been thinking about her a lot lately, and, you know, I do miss her, and I was just, but again, you know, like you said, life goes on, so I can't really rely on that to happen. So,
Jason, you know, life has to go on, because if you focus all of your energy and all of your attention upon her as the partner, then you block the energy of your manifestation. Your manifestation is to have a wonderful lifelong relationship, and if it is her, again, you'll block it through attachment. You need to enjoy life. You need to be, if you're not already working for yourself, you're supposed to be working for yourself, by the way. Have you considered that?
No, I haven't. I mean, well, I thought about it over the years, but I never really considered as to what avenue or, you know, what to pursue.
Well, you're quite technical.
Yes, I do have some computer backgrounds.
Yeah, you're technical, and it's definitely related to your technical skills and computers. But I see you working for yourself, and the month of April comes up. I feel really strongly that you'll choose to go your own way, and you'll have far more flexibility, be far happier. But get out there and live your life. But yes, she cares for you. Yes, she thinks of you. But if you want to manifest the right relationship, whether it's her or somebody else, you have to detach.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
I wish you lots of luck, Jason.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So that's the end of our readings. We apologize to the two callers that are on there from Florida and Georgia, but we would ask that you return to call next week to have your free reading. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. And next week's show will be anchored by Maureen. Maureen, what can we look forward to next week?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hello to everybody in the chat room. I couldn't be in there with you for reasons. But next week is Numerology by Dale, and he's fantastic. He's an intuitive numerologist, and I think everybody will find it very uplifting and fun. So there you have it. So good night. Thank you.
Okay.
Sharing for a lovely show.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, and good night.
Night.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.